This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Mostly NFL draft. We'll continue to do that with your calls at 888-808-1019. Thomas Dimitroff will join us in studio for the final hour of the show. Coming up at 1 o'clock, Evan and Tiki will be out at the American Dream Mall today doing their show live from the Dream Bar. So a lot of draft stuff obviously coming up at 2 o'clock. You know, for me, BT, there's a bunch of different ways to go. My still primary focus, and I know we talked about, could these teams be playoff teams moving forward? I don't think there's anything that the Giants could do in this year's draft that can make them a playoff team next year, which brings me to the quarterback situation. I don't care really who it is. I mean, I do, but at least if they identify somebody, they need to come away with a franchise quarterback.
It's the first time I've honestly, sincerely felt in years both the Jets and the Giants with really good drafts can propel themselves into the playoffs, at least the conversation. You know, to me, it's very obvious what the Jets need. Jets need a right tackle. Jets need a tight end. That's their biggest decision. Are they going, you know, on the offensive line right side? Do you go tight end? They need to get another receiver as well, though. If you get a tight end, that, I don't want to say completely mitigates the need for a receiver, but that gives you an additional downfield threat, and you can kind of add a receiver maybe later in the draft, whatever. And for the Giants, I think D-line is absolutely, like, of the 10 things that they need, I'm saying that 10 out of 10, 10 times. Like, that is what they need because that is where they just bled out last year. They were soft inside. Once you got away from Dexter, if he was off the field or you ran away from him, Giants cannot stop the run, which set up a lot of, you know, second and short, third and short, fourth and ones, and the team shoved it down their throat, and it really offset what I think is by far the Giants' greatest strength, which is a pass rush. I think that the Giants will I shouldn't say absolutely, but I'm going to say it. I absolutely think the Giants get Carter tonight. That's who I don't think nothing, 1-2, trade this, that. Giants are getting Abdul Carter, and when they do, and they piece this thing together, I think the Giants have a chance to have a top 10 defense next season.
Yeah, I need to see it to believe it. I'm not there. I love Carter. I love the idea. I think the Giants would be lucky if he falls a three. I'm not as certain as you. I mean, it seems like that's the every mock draft, every report outside of what we heard, you know, Schrager a little bit with saying that the Giants and the Browns have been getting calls for the second and third pick. Baldy yesterday dropping the bomb saying that there's going to be a blockbuster within the top five. Outside of that, it does seem like everybody is Cam Ward, Travis Hunter, then Abdul Carter, the Giants. So I'm not certain, though, that that's going to be the case. If it is, I think the Giants will be fortunate to get, in my opinion, the best player in the draft. Then from there, they got to figure out how they're going to build the defense, because do you keep Kayvon Thibodeau? His name has been rumored to be out there in possible trades. I also just think the guys they had there last year, I thought they were supposed to be better, and they weren't. They weren't better last year. So, yeah, okay, better offense this year. I mean, I guess. I don't think Russell Wilson's a good quarterback. So I'm not so sure the Giants' offense is going to be much better, unfortunately, than what it was a year ago. I think they have a long way to go. I don't think there's anything they could do tonight to be a playoff team this year, which is why I would put an emphasis on the quarterback. I'm just fascinated to see. We're hearing Tyler Shuck has been a name that's been thrown out there. Jackson Dart, you saw Joe Shane's son tweeting about
it. Nice. Yeah, I heard Gio talking about that. Yeah.
I mean, come on, dude. But anyway, you know, Jackson Dart's been out there. Maybe Shedeur Sanders late first round. Yeah, I was told by somebody that, you know, in the building, let's say that, or in the, what do you call it?
In the industry?
Stores. Yeah, industry stores. Industry stores saying that, we wouldn't be surprised by anything, and saying that likely the Giants will take a quarterback later. Shuck was one of the names that was a prominent name, but wouldn't be shocked by anything, meaning that even if Sanders fell late in the first round, potentially that first second round pick for the Giants, maybe they go with Sanders there. I would be surprised if it were Sanders. I just want to know, BT, who the quarterback is that they identify. And I guess the biggest way the Giants can get themselves in trouble, let's say they love Jackson Dart, but they take Carter and now roll the dice about trying to get back.
Yeah.
There's the chance you run of risk of losing him, and now you're on to your second or third quarterback option.
The whole night's a crapshoot. You know, you got to stack up your board properly, number one. You've got to read what other teams are doing. You've got to react in real time as things unexpectedly happen. You got to have juice around the league. Really, it's not an accident, or it's not by accident, that the best franchises are the ones that are stable and have people in prominent jobs for a long time. Because when you've got contacts around the league, like I'm telling you, Sal, so, you know, we could be, pretend we're in a war room right now.
Yeah.
Instead of our studio, and I'm the Jets and you're the Giants, all right? And I'm at 7 and I'm at 3. Now, maybe it's a little different, Jets and Giants, because of the New York. I don't think it is, but we'll just go with it, right? I can call you if I'm connected and piped in and I've got respect and I've got contacts around the league. I can call you up and say, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, right? I heard you guys might be trading with this team. If you do, do you know what they're looking for? And that's how you build. It's like you build out your board, but then you've got to craft a reaction to other people's boards. And you don't just blindly guess, well, oh, I think the Rams could do this. Yeah, I'm hearing the Arizona Cardinals might be a little frisky tonight. Maybe they'll try this. You've got to be able to get information. And when you get that, then you need to apply it and adjust. And if both GMs could do that. Now, Mookie's year one, so I'm not expecting miracles tonight. I think he's got a clearer vision, by the way. Go O-line, go tight end. You don't necessarily need a quarterback right away, if at all. But the Giants, it is far more complicated because there's pressure. And if Joe Shane doesn't read this well, then he's just not the guy for the job.
Think about what you just said, though, because the information gathering from front offices around the league is a big part of the draft process, just trying to figure out where everybody's at with these boards. Where do you think the mock drafts come from? It's not just you and I throwing darts at the wall. It's not from even Mel Kiper and whatever. They can rank their prospects, mm-hmm. but these guys also are talking to Peter Schrager. They're talking to all the teams.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, you guys are getting a feel for this or that, and then putting it out there. And then, okay, well, this team's getting a feel for that. Oh, here's what this team's doing. So there's a lot of that going on behind the scenes, which I would assume leads to a lot of these mock drafts, how you come up with that. And then maybe that's how they get their intel, but it doesn't mean that it's all going to be accurate. It does feel like it's going to be chalk, at least for those first three picks. I don't know. What if the Browns do decide to trade that number two pick? Diana Rossini was saying before that maybe that would be a possibility, that the Browns could trade that second pick. I mean, are the Saints going to take a quarterback? Or are they not? I'm seeing a bunch of different mock drafts. We hear different reports. But that's where the mock drafts originate from, reporters or people in the business connecting with people in the organizations to get a better idea of where players would be going.
I think that's how it becomes really refined. I don't think that's how it starts. Matter of fact, one of the websites I've used for a long time here, walterfootball.com, okay. I'll give them a pop. They've been doing good work for a long time. And of course, you know, I'll go to, you know, Pro Football Focus and, you know, CBSSports.com. I'll go to all of them. But I generally, Walter Football is one of the earlier ones. I just popped this up. They've already got up their 2026 mock draft. So when I mean,
come on.
No, I know. So when I say that, that's how it finishes with the input from well-sourced executives in the NFL. It doesn't necessarily start that way. Because I think the Shedeur Sanders as an early pick was not shaped by GMs.
Correct.
It was shaped by people who cover college, who put out these early mock drafts, and then as the people with the actual juice to make the decision, as they started to weigh in, they're like, well, this doesn't exactly jive with what I've been writing, so now we're going to put him maybe 9 to the Saints. Oh, Saints don't like him. Right. Maybe we're going to put him 15 or 16 or 21 to the Steelers or 26 to the Rams. So I'm half with you. I don't think it starts that way.
But that's why you can't pay attention to it. Because to Phil Simms' point the other day when he was on with Boomer and Geo, saying players don't drop. Shedeur Sanders didn't drop. That's where he's valued by NFL executives.
Unless he didn't interview well. You could drop there.
Well, I mean, he's just saying, I'm using Phil's words here. He's saying players don't drop. That's where NFL teams view him. But, okay, well, unless he didn't interview well. But that is a part of how teams view him, the interview process. So anything before that is bullcrap. All the mock drafts before the interview process from each team is based off of what? Looking at college film or trying to grade where the college players are at. So Shedeur Sanders should go number two. But then when reality strikes and teams are watching and doing their due diligence and interviewing, now all of a sudden it's like Shedeur Sanders is not going to be a number two quarterback. So all that stuff prior to teams meeting with these players and evaluating themselves should be taken with a grain of salt.
There's also a lot of misinformation. And that's what, whether it's somebody like Diana Rossini, who's obviously well-versed in this and able to cut through the nonsense, or maybe a younger reporter who might be intentionally thrown off scent by a general manager or personnel person just to get different information out there. I mean, it's a wild game, man. There's no rules. You got to be smart enough to sift through the nonsense. But I do, you know, just back to the, and we'll get back to the calls, obviously, but back to the thought of like the mocks and who shapes them. What I value, and I look at I'm not going to do it. I just looked at it now to see if it's up yet. But I will do it at some point, maybe over the summer, just a peek. I'm not going to go nuts. But I've done this for years. I like to look at the early mocks for the next year over the summer because at the very least, like on the most rudimentary level, because I'm not watching college football the way I used to because football stinks now. I can't stand what it's turned into.
Right, but even if you did, you could...
Okay. Even if I did, I'm not a scout. You know what I mean?
Well, you're going to formulate your own, okay, I like this guy, that guy, but you're not breaking down.
No, that's not what I get paid to do. That's not what I mean. I have no interest in that. But at least the early drafts, the early mocks give me a sense of which positions have the most abundance of talent. Like, I already know, and I know this also from watching a little bit. Of course, Archie Manning's one of them, kid from LSU, kid Penn State, Aller. That next year's quarterback crop is better than this one. Like, I already know that. I knew a while ago that this offensive line group for this particular draft and the interior lines both ways were going to be a strength of the draft. So you can glean some information. You just don't take all the bait because half of it's nonsense.
BT and Sal on the Fan. Our friends at Town Fair Tire remind you that at Town Fair Tire, you always get the guaranteed lowest price on name brand tires from Connecticut to Maine. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And with all that being said, that's why it's fun to talk about.
I love it.
The speculation, the drama, you know, the intrigue. Now, I hate the idea, although for the Giants' perspective, I want them to get Carter because I think he's the best player, but I hate the idea of just chalk. I want some excitement. Maybe the excitement comes from the Giants trading back into the first round and getting a quarterback. Maybe the excitement, the intrigue with the Jets, selection at 7. Like, there's still intrigue and excitement. I just don't like I hate chalk. If it's going to go based off of every mock draft that we've already seen, then to me that's a little boring.
I think the same with the NCAA tournament. You know, having four number ones get to the Final Four this year. I mean, where's the VCU? Where's the George Mason? Yeah. Where's the Little Dog? I mean, where's the Butler before they join the Big East back of the day? That unknown variable certainly gets a little spicy, no question.
Greg is in Morristown. What's up, Greg?
Hey, Greg.
What's up, boys? Oh. Draft night. I think last time I called you, it was the first day of the NCAA tournament getting all tuned up. Now we got draft night.
Wait, where are you getting tuned up tonight, Greg?
I got everybody coming to my place. Here over Divorce Village. It may be a little small being divorced, but the boys all get over. Let's get to business. And I got Jets fans, Giants fans, and I'm a Browns fan. What I want to say is the Browns will screw this up like they always do, and I'm already angry, and we haven't even made the pick.
Who do you want? Who do you want, Greg?
I want, plain and simple, Abdul Carter. He's the most guaranteed guy. You put him on the other side, you get him with Garrett. Just get talent. Don't chase quarterbacks that stink. We've done that. Deshaun Kaiser, Brady Quinn.
You're not taking a quarterback.
No, he's saying he won.
Thank God. But you never know.
Hunter, though, could be a problem, too, Greg. We love the energy, and thank you for the call. Good luck with the party there. Hunter, see, that's a typical Browns pick to me. Taking Hunter, getting sucked in by the appeal of a two-way player, the excitement. It's going to, fans now will like it, get excited about the idea of Hunter being a great wide receiver, a great defensive player. I don't think that's the long-term best pick, especially for a team like Cleveland and a city like Cleveland. I would steer clear of that.
Well, I mean, especially when the guy who's going to get picked right behind him looks like he could be a Hall of Famer. I mean, I don't want to put too much pressure on Carter, but Carter just looks like he's absolutely different.
But there are two aspects of it. That's one, to your point about Carter. Number two, you already got a guy in Hunter saying, wherever I go, I'm playing both ways. I'm sorry, I'm not letting anybody come in here. That's why I say the Browns would do that. They'll let the players dictate that. Get sucked into that type of tantalizing talent as opposed to just saying, Carter's the better player. He's the more sound, fundamental guy. Plays one position. We know what it is. Mm-hmm. Let's just get him and not deal with any of the other stuff. With Hunter, there's high risk. There is high reward. Sure, I am not taking that. I don't think the Browns should be going down that road.
I wouldn't take him either. No, I would take Abdul Carter. I totally agree. You know, I got to tell you in a weird way, and I hate admitting this, but I will. What was that last call? Was that Greg?
Greg.
Hearing him unhinged about his Browns makes me feel so much better about my Jets. Just because that's who I used to be.
What do you mean used to be? It's not that long ago we had the unkillable.
Well, no, think about what he said. He said, I'm already mad. I know we're going to take the wrong guy. That goes into the entire essence of the unkillable speech, that I'm not going to feed into that perpetual negativity and constant losing. That death sentence, I escaped it.
But
But what?
How's that worked out for you?
Well, I mean, it hasn't worked out yet, but the mindset, it's worked out well. I feel my mental health is better. I feel happier.
Good. And that's what I'm saying.
The wins haven't come yet, but I feel better about myself.
All right. So I'm saying, is the blind faith then the best option for a fan to go in? You know, it is blind faith.
Well,
maybe not with Rodgers. It wasn't blind faith because the guy was proven.
Uh-huh.
But you did ignore Saleh and Douglas and the other deficiencies.
Yeah, but I turned on those guys early. I mean, you know,
saying fans, but yes, but I'm saying fans in general.
But don't you think there's a fine line between being all out like Greg is and all in blindly? Like, I think you could be somewhere in the middle, like, hey, I don't expect the worst, and I hope this is the new regime to get the job done.
I think the Jets are right now in a comfortable spot.
Yes, they are.
But
stable is the word that I would use.
Yeah, but there's still a great unknown.
Well, of course.
Why is it stable? Is it because, just thank God that previous mess is out of here and Glenn's no-nonsense attitude and take-charge demeanor makes you feel better?
Quiet off-season. It's part of it.
But Muji, we have no idea about.
I agree.
And he could be the next Idzik for all we know.
Oh, God.
I'm just saying. Or Maccagnan or whatever. I like some of the things the Jets have done.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I think for me, my confidence comes from belief in Glenn, but there's just because we think it sounds great, has no idea if it's going
to
work out.
I understand that part, but I look at this. The messaging to me is exhilarating. Like, and by the way, so is the Aaron Rodgers stuff. Like, that was exhilarating. All right, hey, maybe we're going to mess around with a Super Bowl. Like, reel me on the boat, gaff. I took the bait. Yeah. See, I'm done. But I mean, everybody did most of us did. So the messaging has been professional and quiet, and it's been repackaged and with purpose. I like the way they're not saying anything, which is nice, number one. And number two, it's not about, hey, there's this one guy in the draft that if the Jets can get him, maybe we can get. It's, I think there is now a sane thought process that is really like enveloping really the entire fan base, where people are saying, all right, we need an O-lineman, need a tight end, defense pretty good. Like, I just feel like there's a calmness and a direction, and I hope that translates. I couldn't imagine still being like Greg. I couldn't do it.
No, I get it. That negativity, it can be fun, but it does get tiring.
Yeah, I mean, it might be fun for Joe B. It's not fun for me anymore. I'm out.
Mike is calling from Clifton Park. What's up, Mike?
Hey, guys. So a giant point and a Nick point. So, put on your GM hat. Let's say Giants go with the pass rusher in the first round. The second round comes in. Do you grab a quarterback or do you grab the best player you can for your team? I know what I would do. What would you guys
do? I would try to actually get that quarterback at the end of the first round like the Ravens did years ago. Now, I'm not going to wait. If you have to wait till round two, okay. You can't force somebody to trade with you. But to me, it's more appealing if you identify the right guy and you believe he's that guy. Move up a couple of the slots, get him, bring him in round one, get the extra fifth year for evaluation. That's what I would do.
Okay. I probably wouldn't do that if there are better players available, and I would want Joe Shane to look Mara in the face and say, this is good for the team, this is a better player, if he really feels that, and if he can't do that, he should not be a GM anymore. And then with the Knicks, I'm worried Thibodeau, who I like, I'm worried he's turning into Stan Van Gundy before my eyes, and Jalen Brunson is enabled by Thibodeau, the dad, and they don't challenge him anymore, and we may need a new coach to push Brunson to be a better point guard. What do you guys think?
I don't think it's on Tibbs, and I think Tibbs and Brunson have a great relationship, but I would bet that Tibbs holds him accountable and has made him a better player. I don't know how you could even dispute the fact that Brunson has been a better player with the Knicks than he's ever been anywhere in his life before, so I'm going to give Tibbs some of the credit for that. I just think it comes down to Brunson has to feel, forget about the coaching aspect of it, Brunson has to feel like he can trust his teammates. It's not that he wasn't trying to get them involved at all, but when he did, they weren't hitting some shots. So if that happens and you want to win and you're the captain of the team and you know how good you are, maybe the natural inclination is to go take the game over. That has to stop. Even if it's to a fault, he has to trust his teammates.
I would agree with that. And he said some things earlier today that leads me to believe he's going to kind of change the way he plays a little bit to fit what you just said.
I didn't see it. What did he say?
I know Ian Begley had something on social media. It was just along the lines of, he didn't say, I've got to stop playing Hero Ball.
Yeah,
but it was a smarter way of saying, I've got to kind of augment how I play a little bit here. Where my thing is with Tom Thibodeau, and I've said this forever, I know we have to break, so I'm just not going to keep, you know, being monotonous with this, because I really do respect him, and I'm not trying to pile on, but it's very simple. If he doesn't win this series, I cannot bring him back, number one. And even if he does win this series, I don't believe he's the head coach to elevate the Knicks to a championship, and I would like to win one someday.
They spoke to reporters after the shoot-around this morning. Brunson said that he needs to get off the ball more often. And Hart said he needs to be better about complaining to the refs during the game.
Well, that's been a constant issue for the Knicks all year.
But it's nice that they acknowledge it ahead of Game 3, no?
Yeah, I mean, maybe Tom Thibodeau could have addressed it midseason and gotten rid of it. I'm really picking on him now, aren't I?
Getting rid of who?
No, I'm saying, like, I'm flipping this back to Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, I know, but and get rid of who? You say?
I'm saying maybe if Tom Thibodeau would have addressed this early in the season.
Yeah, you still pick it on Tibbs.
Yeah, because it was an issue last year. And listen, they're all chirping. But the entire NBA chirps. It's incessant chirping.
But it doesn't mean just because the entire NBA does it, that it should be acceptable.
I agree.
And I will side with you on this. You know I love Tibbs, but that is, to me, a coaching problem. When all your guys, almost to a man, are nonstop bitching and moaning about the officials.
All the time.
Cut that out.
Yep.
That's on Tibbs. Hey, guys, come on now. Grow up. So maybe I'm sure he firmly addressed
the
team.
Well, I think he does it, too. I think you look at him at the refs.
I think it's different if you let him do it, not the players. Let the coach be the bad guy, and don't let the players do it.
Yeah. Well, listen, there's definitely a pecking order of power. He's the head coach, so he should be the first one to do it. But I still think he does it too much. And, again, I'm not trying to pick on him. But the other thing that I would like Josh Hart to say is, this would be nice. Hey, if I'm open tonight, I'm going to shoot. Because too often, you know, I had the technical fouls or chirp at the refs, that's one thing. But if you don't start shooting, you're playing 4-on-5,
yeah,
and you
just
can't win that way.
I'd rather him pass than shoot.
I'd rather him play fewer minutes.
See, you're too harsh on Hart for me. I think he's going to be fine. I like what he brings, but he's supposed to be the heart and soul of the team, rebound the ball, bring that tenacity, attack the rim, kick it out. Now, when you kick it out, OG, to me, was too hesitant.
Mm-hmm.
That's the guy I want to see shoot the ball with conviction. Just because you miss a couple of shots early doesn't mean you should have, you know, doubt about your shot. Some of that DiVincenzo that we talked about last year. Yeah, some aren't going to go in, but he's shooting it the same way every time with the same confidence. He can miss 15 in a row.
Yep.
Shot 16 is going to be the same confidence as shot 3 and shot 12. Whereas with OG and maybe Hart, to your point, some of the other Knicks, it's not there. It's like, oh, maybe get a little skittish after missing a couple of shots.
Yeah, and the thing that I'm going to look for with Bridges, because listen, there's a lot of criticism to dole around, and eventually we get away from Game 2, and we'll see what Game 3 brings. I wonder what kind of game the refs whistle. I mean, that right away, that's going to change the complexion of the game, and I think that there probably will be an overreaction, or at least a reaction to the disparity in fouls between the Pistons and the Knicks in Game 2, and that should favor the Knicks tonight. This happens in the NBA all the time. You know, but generally with Bridges, if he's short tonight, because when you're tight, right, when you're tight at something, when you're tight or a little hesitant or nervous or whatever word you want to use, a little overwhelmed, you're generally not long. Like when you're long, it's because you're just loose, it's not a good shooter. Guys who are tight, and you see this at the free throw line late, you try to be perfect. And when you try to be perfect, you generally, your levers, your longer levers, your arms just don't go as long because you're trying to be perfect. And when you're trying to be perfect, there's more of a propensity to be short than to be long. Bridges missed a couple of shots short the other night. And, you know, I think that's one thing that I'm looking for tonight amongst many.
BT and Sal on the fans. Get back to the phone calls. Justin is in East Brunswick. What's up, Justin?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good.
I got the perfect Giants trade, but I'm going to first let you noodle on a little Jets trivia. Before Aaron Rodgers, name the last former Packers quarterback to throw two touchdowns or more for the Jets. I'll let you think about that. But here's the most realistic trade. It's going to save Shane's career, his job. So you take Carter number 3, and then you just spy until Shador keeps falling, and he falls. Then you package Thibodeau and your second-round pick probably to the Bills or the Chiefs, maybe the Eagles if it's in division.
Yeah.
And you get your quarterback. Right?
I mean, Justin, hold on a sec, though. Can I ask you something? Like, if he's falling that much, that means the Giants aren't the only one who will let him slip to that point. So you say if he falls, then you do this and you do that with Thibodeau, you get your quarterback. But if he's not that good, why do you want him?
Yeah, you know, I think there's something about his personality in New York. They're going to make it work. You know, the guy is he could be a winner. You know, he isn't a true winner yet, but I think he's got something. I mean, he's not number one overall, but you take him, you know, 27, 28, 29, you're pretty happy.
Well, they're going to have to take a quarterback at some point. So, you know, Tyler Shuck in round two or round three, is that going to be any better? If they like Sanders,
no.
you just don't like Sanders, BT, which is why you just wouldn't take him, period.
Yeah, I don't think he's worth that kind of a pick in terms of talent. And I'm not worried about him being, like, overwhelmed by New York.
Right.
Or I think he's a good kid. I think that's been hijacked and unfair. I just don't think he throws well enough, and he's not a great athlete.
Fair enough. But if they need a quarterback and they identify Sanders to be one of their top quarterbacks and Dart is off the board, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, if the Saints don't take a quarterback, then it's going to be on the Steelers, right? Steelers have to take a quarterback if they want one, and that's where the smoke is. They don't have a second-round pick. So if Pittsburgh not having a second-round pick and they want a quarterback, well, how are they getting one without their late first-round pick? So then whichever quarterback they don't take should be available for the Giants at either their first-round pick, their first second-round pick, or to trade back up and make sure that they get their guy. So who are the Steelers going to take? Is it going to be Sanders? Is it going to be Dart? And then of whoever they don't choose, would the Giants be willing to trade up or take them with their second-round pick? I think that's really what it's going to come down to.
Interesting. But I could also see maybe the Steelers, you know, you have future draft picks that you can weave in. Would it surprise anybody to come up with a situation where the Steelers do something from their future to fortify tonight? Wouldn't surprise. That's what good franchises do.
Right, but if you...
They don't have a second-round pick year.
Right, but my point is, if they don't... What are they going to do with the first-round pick? If they don't take a quarterback, then what? Trade into the second round?
Well, I'm saying maybe. I mean, I don't even know the probability of that, but it's possible.
Me neither. I would just think that it's a little more difficult. Not only do you not have the second-round selection, it's less... You know, in the cupboard to choose from. Do you, just to answer his trivia question, you have any idea who he's talking about?
Just repeat the question. Before Aaron Rodgers, the last former Packer that played for the Jets
to throw two touchdowns?
I mean, I'm going to say Brett Favre, but I think that's wrong. No, that's too easy.
I have no idea.
It's got to be one of these backups. Who slid in there? Timmy Boyle is my answer.
Yeah, did he throw two touchdowns? But he said before Aaron Rodgers.
I'm going to say Tim Boyle.
Boyle's after.
I mean, because how dumb of a question would that be if the answer is actually Brett Favre?
Yeah.
That's too easy.
Yeah, I would think.
I'm going to say Tim Boyle. Take my chances.
I didn't hang up on him. He dropped off because I was going to get that answer.
Nah.
Sydney is in Pennsylvania. Wanted to clear something up. What's up, Sydney?
What's up, Sal? BT.
Sid, what's up,
Sal,
man?
Yeah.
I'm here to defend my boy Hop.
Okay.
He needs it with this.
Interesting.
I saw the same video he saw. So in order to open a space capsule, it can only be open from the outside. So the reason they're getting the backlash and everybody's saying it's fake is because Katie or somebody inside opened it actually twice. Before Basil's got there, they made her close it back. And then when Basil got there, she opened it again and they made her close it again so he can open it. So you're not supposed to be able to open the capsule from the inside. It's only supposed to be open from the outside. And that's where even Gail's getting backlash. They all get back.
But this is but this is a conspiracy theory. According to actual reputable reporters, including Gail King herself, it happened.
Right.
It happened.
Well, she's getting backlash too, because you can't open the castle from the inside. And obviously they did.
So you're saying it didn't happen?
I saw the same video.
But again, you can doubt it, Sydney.
It didn't happen, man. To me, it didn't happen because you're not supposed to be able to do it. And they made her close it twice, actually.
Yeah, I don't know.
Take one, take two, take three.
I heard, and thank you for clarifying that, Sydney, although I'm not sure we got clarification there. I saw and heard the same thing, which is why I went Hop. But I thought that was people like Sydney and Hoff saying, oh, it's bullcrap, it's ridiculous, conspiracy theories, as opposed to it actually was fake. When Hoff was saying, oh, that was fake news, then
like
I started,
staged.
Yes. When he said that it was fake, then I was like, oh, maybe I misinterpreted that. I thought they went, and I thought people were questioning the legitimacy of it, just like you would, you know, these conspiracy theories forever, whatever it could be, JFK.
Yeah, but generally, that's different because there is visual. But generally, some of these conspiracy theories, there's not anything visual to connect the dots. Now, there's something visual here, but that's kind of leading to the challenge because we're seeing the door unlocked and locked. You know, so I'm like, all right, do it again. Didn't do it right here. Get the picture of this right this time. I thought they went. I don't know. And at this point, I really couldn't care.
Yeah, me neither. But the reports, the actual reports are that it did happen.
Well, I thought they went for 11 minutes. That was my initial thought. I gave it no second thought. Until Hop chimed in so believably, so aggressively, so confidently that it didn't happen.
Where did they go exactly? What part of space did they go to?
Just some of the outer regions. Nowhere. Honestly, nowhere in particular. Yeah. They just went up where it's dark, Hop, where airplanes can't go. Like, that's the answer.
Well, maybe that, but is that really space? Did they really get there?
They went to space.
I don't think so. There's no video footage of them in space.
And by the way, now, I was going to say, like, even if they went there and took video or took pictures, you know what everybody would say?
Too late.
Or people would just be like, that's AI.
I know.
Well, that's
the other
thing
too.
Yeah, no, dude, they have videos of them
in
floating.
I know.
Around.
Oh, I know.
What? You don't believe that either?
No,
that's fake.
No, they could do that on any stupid movie lot. They could do that.
So they're just lying that they went to space.
Yes, 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 exactly.
Boy, if that's the case, that is a weird prank.
I would say this:
it's not a prank. It's a publicity stunt.
If it were just Bezos or Katy Perry. You could have me more in line with a conspiracy theory.
Yep.
Gail King would not do that.
And wasn't there a physicist up there with her?
Or a
nuclear scientist or a nuclear physicist?
Yes.
Come on, there could have been a priest up there too. Who cares?
Oh, come
doesn't
on.
Make a difference.
I'm going to send you to space if you keep this up.
I'll actually go.
So would I.
One-way ticket. BT and Sal on the fan. I'm only going if Rajakowski joins. BT and Sal on the fan.
So about an hour and a half ago, I posed the question to Sal. I said, hey, listen, if somebody calls tonight with Breece Hall, then they want to make a trade. Would the Jets do it? Should they do it? That was about an hour and a half ago. An hour ago, I summarized that for those who may have missed it. I put it on social media. I said, hey, if somebody calls me about Hall, I'm listening intently. Jets have a good, young, and cheap running back room, and they're are they shelling out big bucks to retain him next season? And I said, likely not. If so, why not move on tonight or this weekend if somebody wants him? And then that was an hour ago. 46 minutes ago, Breece Hall himself tweeted, and we have to interpret what this emoji means.
Yes.
Just the little emoji of the fingers being crossed.
Okay, that's so it. Like the cross your fingers
cross
emoji.
Your fingers. Now, okay. Is he crossing the fingers to hope that he stays or hope that he's dealt or hope that he gets a contract in the next couple of weeks? What's he hoping
for? What's your first gut reaction when you saw it?
I thought it meant that he's hoping to stay. That was my first reaction.
I'd be lying to you if I said otherwise. I'd like to bust your chops and say otherwise.
Yeah. Well, Hop thinks it's something
else. That's what I was going to say. Hop, your first reaction when BT informed you about this or when you saw the tweet?
The emoji.
Oh, he's looking to get out of here.
crossing his fingers.
It is amazing.
Did he add the praying hands emoji as well? Just please get me out of here. Anybody but the Jets.
You know what's amazing about Hop? Some people are like natural contrarians and like they purposely go against what. That's not really him.
Right.
Like his natural
default. I would
default,
say Marash is that.
Yeah. His natural default, Hops, is just he doesn't agree with anything that most people say. It's hysterical.
Yeah, because you guys are all wrong.
I know. No, I do think he probably wants to stay. Although, why
I
would
think
you
so.
Even? All right, so now let's take it a step further before we get back to the phones. 888-808-1019. Why would you even tweet something like that?
Because you're looking for engagement. You're bored.
You're looking for attention. I can't stand attention cravers. I can't stand it. It was one of my big no-nos when I was dating. I didn't like that. It's one of the reasons why I married my wife. No social media, nothing like that. I love it. Mm-hmm. I'm not opposed to it now, especially, but like the attention craving and the self-centered look at me, and this, it drives me up a wall and has for a long time. Although in my older age, I just give a crap less about
me
it.
Me too. But it bothers me as well.
Used to bother me a lot more. Yeah. So why would you do that if you're Breece Hall? Like, dude. How many millions has Breece Hall made in his career?
Not that much. I think as a second round pick, I think he's in totality $9 million.
Okay. Not that much.
No, but he hasn't
gotten. He can never work again in the rest of his life and be good to go.
I don't know about that. Dude, $9.5 million, $4 million going to taxes. Yeah. If you don't invest wisely, he's 25 years old. He cannot live on that.
4 years, $9 million and like change.
All right, so I was close. Yeah, nine change. I'm not saying that
if you invest it the right way, you could spread $9 million is $9 million. Like, even after taxes.
But it's not
taxes,
nine, it's four and a half.
Yeah, even after taxes. Well, it's not nine per year, so whatever. Do the math.
I bought a house in New Jersey.
Yeah, okay.
You know, Jersey taxes. I'm sure it's not a dump. I know the neighborhood that it's in. Not cheap.
Oh, you know where it is?
I mean, I'm not going to divulge. You
never told me that.
Well, you didn't ask.
All right. Because yeah. I really don't care. But my point is, dude, you're making $9 million, whatever it may be. You're going to get another contract down the road. He's going to be fine. Breece Hall doesn't have to worry about anything in life. And you're sitting there worried about what's going on social media? Like, go do something. Go play golf. Go hang out with your friends.
Go play like Sauce.
Go on
Sauce
vacation.
Played more golf than football this past
year. Even if
year.
You don't like golf, and I'm fine with that, don't play golf. Go on vacation. Like, the last thing I would be doing if I had a $9 million contract would be engaging with anybody on social media.
What if you were 24 years old?
I mean, it's a fair question.
It's the only question.
Fair enough. 24 years old, fine. But still, you're not factoring in professional athlete, all the money in the world. And engaging on social media is also different than doing what he did on social media. Like, there's a difference between engaging or posting something meaningful.
Yep.
As opposed to cross your finger. Like,
knowing that thousands of people will probably beg him to stay. Here's what I think happened to Breece Hall today. Breece Hall woke up. I don't know if he's a morning person or not. I was going to say, out of bed, feet hitting the floor around 8, right? Nice healthy shake, maybe a little cereal, maybe a banana, maybe a little fruit. I mean, that's generally how I start my day. And he's an actual athlete, so I'm sure his starts are better than that. Maybe a little protein, some eggs, you know, maybe do a little reading, maybe do a little whatever, something around the house real quick. Then he goes to some workout facility and he's doing some shuttle runs. He's doing some lunges. He's doing some stretching, doing some yoga, and probably maybe stops off at Starbucks, maybe gets a little refuel at some point. Cause I don't think he's married. I don't think he has any kids. So there's not a ton of responsibility right now at 12:51 on a Thursday when you're 24 years old or 25. So he probably, to your point, sitting around bored, let me throw this out there. Let me kill some time and let me have a bunch of people kiss my ass. And tell that, then have them tell me how much I shouldn't be traded. That's what I think happened.
By the way, just because that's our interpretation of what he meant, who's to say that he wasn't just saying cross your fingers to take an offensive lineman, which will help him out long run?
Yeah, no, I know.
You brought up the trade thing before this, which I guess made me think trade. But
I'm not the first one. It was out there a while. Now it's kind of dissipated a bit, but there was a little noise around the Jets maybe being open to trading Breece Hall.
I did not hear that. Whatever that noise came from, you know, do you know where?
I think Samini had it like a month or so ago. Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, I'm not saying that's not what he was saying, but I'm saying he also could be like, you know what, cross our fingers. I really love the offensive lineman, or I want a tight end. And maybe he wants Warren, who will also help in the run game. Like, I don't know.
I mean, if possible, interesting wrinkle. I can't say that it's impossible. But again, I think it's because he's bored, he wants some engagement, and he probably does want to stay, I think. But does he really think, forget about the emotional and the interaction on social media, think about this logically. Does he really think if Moogie sees that he's going to be dissuaded to make a deal that would be a good deal for the Jets' future
because he
put a crossing of the fingers emoji on social media?
No.
Exactly.
Now, you said Moogie a couple of times.
I've changed it because I think it's Moogie now.
Diana Russina said Moogie.
She said Moogie, and I'm going with her. Look at how you picked up on that.
Yeah, well
I've always been a soft G guy. I think it's Moog.
I heard her say it, and I was like, oh, I thought it was Moogie. And then you said it twice.
I mean, she knows more than we do.
I'm going Moogie. What do you mean? We didn't make it up. It wasn't you and I. I heard it somewhere that it was Moogie.
Well, you think she's wrong?
I do.
I don't think she's wrong. I stand by her.
Just quickly,
I'm team Russini on this
you
one, man.
You quickly hear her call.
Yep.
It's been Moogie forever, or since he got here, whatever. And you hear her say once, it's Moogie, and now you're Moogie all the way?
Well, now, to be fair, yes, kind of. That's the short version, yes. But because I wasn't 100% sure from day one.
You just follow her now.
Well, no, I've kind of given the Moogs. I've kind of condensed it. Now, that would even
it's not Mooj. If you're gonna shorten it, you say Moogs.
I do, and that's kind of my way of protecting my ass and covering all the bases if I'm wrong, which I very well might be. Listen, you can spell backwards. This whole you trap somebody
right,
good tonight.
Right.
I don't care why you spell it or how you say it. But yes, that caught my ear. I'm like, she knows more than me about this. I'm going with Moogie.
It's fascinating because I heard her say it, let it go. Heard you say it once. I was like, hey, maybe
yeah, you a few times. You do listen.
Hey, listen.
At least we listen to each other. That's funny.
Oh, the call that was going to talk about Breece Hall. Yeah, exactly. I was going to drop off. So why not go to Nick in Philly? Nick, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, I was just calling about this Blue Horizon, Blue Origin space flight. If you guys might have already saw it, I'm listening on the app. But basically, Hoff is right and wrong. It's true. It's
like
obviously not BS. They obviously went into space, but they only went to the edge of space.
Ooh,
they really didn't go into space. So that's the controversy. Stupid point, but I figured I'd clear it up.
No, it's a great point, and thank you for the call, Nick. Appreciate you checking in. I'm not saying ooh from Nick. I think Nick brings up a good point. I did not know that.
Uh-huh.
You go to the edge of space, you go to space. What's the difference? You get up in that little shuttle, you go up. That's the point. They did it.
Yep.
That's so
Hoff is 100% wrong because he basically said they didn't do anything.
Right. He was making it sound like it was AI generated.
Yeah. It wasn't like it was how far did they go? It's did they go at all?
He could have said they went to the edge of space and then we could, all right, well, now we're talking about semantics or whatever, but that was not
he chose not to say that.
Jack is in Westchester. What's up, Jack?
Hey, guys, how are you? I really needed to make this call, and I don't get to call you guys or speak to you too often, so I'm grateful for you taking it. I just wanted to talk about I'm a Knick fan for 50 years, and the talk that I'm hearing, not just from you guys, but on Tom Thibodeau, if he doesn't get out of the first round, they should get rid of him. I don't agree with that at all. I think the guy has squeezed every ounce he could get out of the team last year. And I don't think there are many coaches that could do what he did his first year with that team. So I think you have a guy that can really get players to play better and get a lot of juice out of what he has.
Mm-hmm.
So if they fail in this first round, I'm not putting it on him. And I think we're one step away from going back to the bad old days because we've already been through that. If they don't make it out of this first round, I don't think it's going to be his fault at all. And to all of a sudden now bring somebody else in and change the foundation that he's put in place, I think would be horrible. If you look at last year, the last round against the Pacers, we had no business even going as far as we did. And it was the will of that team and those players, along with his coaching, that really got us that far. Now, I sit on the precipice right now, tonight, of potential disaster or glory. I don't know where this is going, and it's because basically you have two new players that's I don't know what the percentage is of those two guys, Mikal Bridges and Cat, that are not doing their job. We know that. They're not coming through. They're not coming up big.
Mm-hmm.
Cat's not crashing the boards. He's not pulling down rebounds like he should. You can't count on Mikal Bridges, and that's a huge part of that team. So I'm not going to dump that in Thibodeau's lap if that happens.
Yeah. No, listen, Jack, we got to go here. Good call. I think you make a lot of good points. I'm not going to push back too aggressively. The only place, and now it happens to be a very big place, which shapes my answer to be very different from yours in terms of my belief ultimately in Tom Thibodeau to be a championship coach. But a lot of the things that you say I agree with, like, yes, he does tend to maximize rosters and he does get great effort and he does do a lot of things really well. What I question openly, and I'm not running from it, is I'll just say it. I don't think he is a good enough adjuster or when he meets a great coach or a great team to be a difference maker. You can win a lot with him. I don't think you can win it all with him.
When we come back, we'll have Thomas Dimitroff, former Falcons general manager. He worked with the Patriots, won Super Bowls with them, front office guru, NFL draft expert, all that stuff. Looking forward to interview for the Jets job. So looking forward to talking with Thomas in just a little bit.